You know, it's kind of interesting. I started to pace and think, gee, this is my last day and I'm doing all this for God, and I didn't get my Geno's West pizza, and going on and on and on and on and on. And then I just stopped myself and realized how funny it was. Now, hear me on this. It's a funny story, but hear me. If I would have gone to sleep with that, it would have been in my subconscious, cynical mind, and every time that I ordered pizza for the rest of my life, I would have thought about that. It would have taken away from the experience of the rest of my life. And now it turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened because I tell about it at every seminar. But you literally do maintenance on you every single day. Do you realize that God only answers expectations? You're going to expect the best instead of the worst for your life. You're going to be grateful in advance. You're going to give thanks in advance. The ungrateful, they never escape, according to Charles Fillmore. He said, there is nothing to empty your pocketbook faster than being ungrateful. If you're cynical or critical about your present situation or relationship or whatever, you cause it to die. You don't expect Murphy's Law anymore, and you know Murphy's Law, if anything bad can happen, it will. You expect God's law for your life over the next 30 days. My golly, if anything good can happen, it will. I want you to go forth and expect serendipity in your life. Serendipity is unexpected good, and even higher good than you can conceive of right now happening. And then I want you to expect it so much that you own it, you possess it, and when you do that, you become a magnet for it. And this brings us to the next sheet.
Personal goals.
Here's a bunch here. Let's see what I've got. I've got colored here. I've got some more here. Right here. Now this is goal setting, but you're going to take goal setting to a new level. You've all, if you're in Unity, if you're sitting here in this church, you have set goals for yourself in the past, but we're going to take this beyond anything that you've ever done before. You are going to write down and make definite decisions for the way you want your life to go in many specific areas. You're not going to limit God as you make your goals because you realize that God does not limit you. You're going to decide what you want in life. If you don't know what you want, if you have no definite purpose, your subconscious mind produces a conglomeration of circumstances, or it produces, everybody hear me now, or it produces what someone else wants. There's a whole lot of our life that we have produced what someone else wants, not what Umwa wanted. You know, I don't know if you read Daily Inspiration. I know some of you do. But you know what I did for New Year's? I flew on December 30th to Corinth, Mississippi to pick up my new motorcycle. Now, as I'm flying up to Memphis, I'm realizing something that I hadn't totally thought out. It's winter. Well, I took in my suitcase, I took my 14 jackets and everything else. I also bought a heated suit that is like an electric blanket you wear. And I picked up this motorcycle, and it is 800 miles driving this thing back. I have this heated suit on, and it does give me pause because I think, this is electricity, what if it rains? This rain that we have today, this is nothing compared to my trip. It rained and it rained, and I got, for the first time in my life, I learned to read lips. Never been able to read lips before, but in all the cars passing me, they'd all say, "Oh, that poor man." And little did they know that my soul was alive and I was smiling and happy and having a great time. In the Bible, it says something that few understand. It says, "For he who has, more will be given. For he who has not, more will be taken away." That seems very cruel. It seems like a cruel God. You know what it's saying? If you know what you want in consciousness and believe it and can accept it, you're going to have more. If you don't have a consciousness of it, if you have nothing but limitation, even more will be taken away. It's not God punishing you. You're punishing you. The more you can take on what you believe you can have in your life, you will have. Emma Curtis Hopkins, the great success teacher, said, "Sit down at a certain time every day and write down on paper what your ideas of good are, and you will find that such a practice will pin your mind down to the truth, and you will get results." She said, "You have to be clear and not fuzzy. Establishing goals is a form of prayer." Dr. Emmett Fox said, "Goal setting is the way to alter your life more than any other. By writing out what you wish to experience in life. If you do not do this, you will just drift along without any decision or definite purpose or goal, and you will become the helpless victim of circumstances. I had a man once say to me, he said, "Oh, woe is me." He said, "I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances." And I said, "Well, what are you doing under there?" I always say this during my seminars. You know, a lot of us, if we're living from subconscious mind and from past mind, we become a victim of all the bad things that have happened, and we get imprisoned in it and telling our story of victimhood. We live in our woes, and we live in our woe boat, and we're woeing around constantly. The next 30 days, you're going to get out of that woe boat onto dry land. When I get telephone calls, they're always like this. They say, "Chris, is that you?" And I said, "Yes, it's me." And they said, "Chris, you're never going to believe what has happened." Out of the blue, they say. Out of the blue is another name for God. Always say the same things. There was a woman that came to my seminar one time, very reluctantly. She didn't want to come. Her name was Mary. Mary came to the service in the morning, and she said, "I wish I could come to your seminar, but I can't. See, I'm an unwed mother, and I've had three children by three different fathers, and I'm on welfare, and I guess I just have to accept my lot in life." I got right into her face. That's the way I do it spiritually. And I said, "Mary," I said, "not only are you going to be at the seminar, you're going to be on the front row." And she said, oh, you don't understand. I can't. I can't make over a certain amount of money or I'll lose my welfare. I said, "Mary," I said, "you've got a chance here to change your life. I want you to be at this seminar and on the front row." And she said, "Yes, but..." That's what subconscious mind does. Excuse, excuse, excuse. I want to remain the same. I don't want to change. Excuse, 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 excuse. Change is very scary. You know, you can be in your knowing hell, and it's like in the circus being on a trapeze. You're hanging on to that trapeze, and you know that you have to go to that trapeze over there, but to do so, you've got to let go. And then you're in midair, and you're just hoping that other trapeze will come. It's a very scary moment, and yet every soul has to go through that if you want to advance in life. And it's just like the movie of Indiana Jones. When you do let go, you realize something is upholding you that you can't even see beyond you. But you had the free will to choose. You have the free will to say, no, I'm going to stay just exactly like I am. I'm going to hang on. Or you can let go and go to the next big area in life. Mary, she came to the seminar, but she could not believe for herself anything. And she really had trouble on the goals. She didn't want to write down anything because she didn't want to believe she could have anything more than she does, because she had to accept her lot in life. I gave her my telephone number. I said, I want to work with you. And it took forever for her to write down the first goal. It took forever, but finally she did. Finally she wrote out the goals. And I'm going to continue that story in just a little bit after we go through our next sheet in just a little bit. But let me talk about the goals just for a minute more. Now, tomorrow morning, I don't expect you to have this fully written out. This is a process for you to work with over the next 30 days. But when you get it, I want you to carry this with you. Men can carry it in the back pocket of their pants or jeans. Women in your purse. I want you to look at this many times during the day over the next 30 days in this way. First of all, I want you to pray over every goal. And then I want you to get to the point that you're praying with a wholeness of prayer, where you're not only thinking the prayer, but feeling it. If you're praying for a new car, you feel the way you'd feel if you were driving that car. You feel as if it is already yours. When you pray, believe that you've already received it. Feel it. Own it. Possess it. And then you'll have it. Let's say that you and I, after the seminar, we go down 59 to the mall. And we are walking around, and I'm walking past a jewelry store, and I say to you, and it's Sharon, isn't it? I say, Sharon, someday I'd like to have a watch like that. And then I walk on. I probably won't get it, Sharon, because I haven't turned on the great energy of my thinking towards that watch. I haven't really concentrated my thinking and feeling on it. Now, if I want that watch, what I have to do is stop. And I really have to turn on the energy of my thinking. I have to really think about the manifestation of that watch on my arm and feel it, that I own it right now. And I need to perhaps talk to myself until I convince myself that I can have that watch. And once I convince myself and accept it fully, that watch cannot be kept from me. Now, let me tell you, talking about goals, you know, they talk about the success of my ministry. When I first started my ministry, I hired experts, the top internet experts in the country. I paid for one expert for a half an hour consultation, $5,217 to that expert. Here's what he did. He went, oh. He said, there's no way you're going to have a success. He said, how much money do you have? I said, well, I did have $5,218. He said, well, unless you have $1 million, how are you going to be a success? Because it's like you have a phone number at home, but if somebody's going to call that phone number coast to coast, you have to have the money to advertise. Now, when the expert from afar tells you something negative, or a physician, or a financial counselor, or a banker, you tend to really take it into subconscious mind. And I'll tell you when you really take it into subconscious mind, it's when you pay over $5,200 for the bad advice. And I'm driving to a speaking engagement, and I'm just in my woe boat. And I'm depressed because, my golly, I've paid for it. And I want to get my money's worth. And I'm saying, you know, how could I ever have an idea like this? This was the most stupid thing I've ever done. It'll never work. And I'll tell you, there was a point in that journey that I practically stopped the car and pulled over to the side of the road when I realized what I was doing. Again, the gravitational pull of negative thinking. And I realized, gee, my knee, what am I doing here? I need to turn this around. Now, it's going to take more than just saying, well, you're going to be a success. Because this is a concrete idea in subconscious mind that I was going to fail at that time. And I paid and built the structure. So I had to start talking to myself. Sometimes when you pray for something, you're going to have to pray for a long, 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 long time to convince you, not God. Now, I had to do it all the way down and all the way back. We're talking 16, 17 hours, talking out loud. I was hoarse until I started to have shivers up and down me until I started to feel success. Now, Charles Fillmore, he used to pray for up to 30 hours on one idea. He'd pace, he'd walk around, he'd talk to himself until he got it. And he said he knew he got it when he knew that he took on possession of the idea from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. So if you're praying for a certain career, Patricia, keep praying and keep praying and realize Jesus said pray constantly until you've got it in your thinking and feeling, until you are what you seek. And by the end of my trip, I knew without a doubt we were going to be the most successful thing the internet had ever seen. I knew it. And 24 hours later, we were featured by Yahoo, and we went to number one. Now listen. You're a lot more than your physical body, folks. You're a little broadcasting station of consciousness. You hold an idea, and it broadcasts to everyone else. And they treat you by what you are inside and what you're projecting in your thoughts. Even people that are way out of the distance of your face-to-face contact, the literal world changes towards you as you change. As you begin to put on a new consciousness, the whole world treats you differently. This is why you're here, and this is your purpose in life. To do this and to manifest it fully. So with every goal, I want you to work, and this is work now. I want you to work. First, you're going to think it, and I mean not just, you know, thinking, wishing. You're going to know that it's yours. And then you're going to work on it so much, even if you have to talk to yourself 30 hours in one area, pacing back and forth. It's good time spent, let me tell you. Until you feel the possession of that, and you will have it. Now, I said earlier that this is a 30-day experiment in spirituality. Test God, prove God, see what you can do in your life. I know what I'm talking about here. It works. The next sheet that I'm going to give you is my favorite, one that I own. I created this sheet because of my experience working at Unity Village. I want to get that blue one out of there. There you go. Thank you. This is a bliss list. At Unity Village, while I was there as senior minister for 11 years, I did 2,600 funerals, folks. That's a lot of funerals. And I was with over 1,000 people making their passing. Long time, lifelong Unity people. And many times when I was with them while they were making their passing, they would say to me in the middle of the night, "Chris, why didn't I do what I really wanted to do in my life? Why? You know, I thought that I had all these excuses, all these reasons, and now I realize it was just my own fears. And I really, really don't want you to ever get to that point. When you're laying there making your transition, I want you to have a big smile on your face and say, my golly, I did it all. I had a blast. I had an absolute wonderful time. In counseling, so many times we find that a life of a person is defined by their problems. Here's what I mean. I could bring in any person from off the street and I could say, sit here, tell me about your problems. And they could go on and on and on. They could probably talk an hour and a half or 2 hours. Then I could stop that person and I could say, tell me about your bliss. Tell me about the passions that you have in life. What gives you soul happiness? You know what I get? I get a blank stare. I get an absolute blank stare. I learned this from funerals. When I'm doing all these funerals, I used to meet with the family and I'd say, tell me about Mama. And I would say, tell me about her loves and her passions and her blisses in life. And they would look at me often with a blank stare. And then they'd say, well, she used to play basketball, but that was before high school. And then she used to like to cook, but that was before World War II. And really, what she liked to do was just taking care of us. That defined them more than it did Mama. Who really was Mama? And who really are you? You are defined by your passions and your blisses. I'm defined by the smile in my soul on that motorcycle trip. When all those cars were saying, oh, that poor man, I was saying, thank you, God. I want you see all the lines on that bliss list? The reason that there are all those lines is because I want you to begin to define your life not by your problems, but by your blisses. This is a process, and I've got my hand up, that's going to take more than 30 days. It is a process you begin now. You're going to begin to explore and know thyself. Now, I didn't always know that I liked to ride a motorcycle. I found it out, and I found that it turned my soul on, and therefore I wanted to pursue that and do that. I've done a lot of things. In Houston, one time, I went up on an airplane 15,200 feet and jumped out. I would never do that again. I go there, and we're signing all the things that you sign before you go up. You know, it's like if you die, if you splat, you will not sue. It's stuff like that. Then you watch a video, I kid you not, it's of the ambulance taking away people, and they just want you to know the total reality of what can happen. And then we notice that the weight limit for the parachute. And I notice that I'm 20 pounds too heavy. And my wife whispers to me, she says, "Just lie." Which, she's a Unity person, she's a member of this church, and sounded like a good idea to me until I was up there 15,000 feet. And then I'm thinking, perhaps there is a reason for that weight limit. So I go to the flight instructor and I say, "You know, down there on the ground, I fudged just a bit on my weight." He said, "How much of a bit?" And I said, "Oh, about 20, 21 pounds. He said, "Oh, don't worry about it." He said, "You'll drop a lot faster than the rest of them, but you should be okay." This is what he said. Now, my wife is the ultimate positive thinker, and she jumps out of that plane like no problem at all. Now, when your wife jumps out of the plane before you, you have to jump even if you're going to be killed. It's a male macho thing. There's this huge opening, and I don't know how many of you have done it, but you have to go out head first. Head first. You know, I wouldn't mind. I could do this. But the head first thing got to me. And then they're saying, "Bring up your feet fast or you'll be hit by the tail." Now, that's intimidating. No matter how much of a master prayer you are, you become better in that moment. And so you dive out of the plane, and there's my wife. She's just floating around, and I'm meow. I was down on the ground 30, 35 minutes before everybody else, just waiting for them. The thing is, though, you explore life. You find out what turns you on and what doesn't turn you on. And even the things that don't turn on your soul, you're a better person for trying it. And you see what will make you alive. You become defined by your blisses. Remember the story of Mary, the Mary that was on welfare? If you think she had trouble with the goals, oh ho ho, she had trouble with the bliss list. She couldn't write down anything that would give her joy because she didn't want to think she could have any kind of joy and then be disappointed. It took forever for me to get her to write down her first bliss. And here's how I finally did it. I said, "Tell me, Mary, about your childhood." And she literally lit up. She said, "More than anything in the world, I love winter weather. I absolutely come alive. You know, I wilt in heat. I just wilt. My soul just dies. I love," she said, "stepping through heavy snow. I love to snowmobile. I love to ski," but she said constantly, "but I'll never do that again." I said, "Well, let's just have fun. Write it down." And she started to come alive writing down her blisses. I helped her by talking to her and telling her what she could do and encouraged her to post her resume on the internet. She got a job offer, and I once asked her, I said, Mary, I said, "What would it take to get you off welfare?" And she said, "Oh, but. I'll never be able to do that because I never went back to school, and I could never go back to school because I have the three kids. And but, you know, excuse. She said, "I'd need at least 6.5 times what I'm making now, and that's impossible." She calls me one day. Here's the telephone call. Chris, is that you? Chris, you're never going to believe what has happened. Out of the blue, she got a job offer, and we're just celebrating. It's like seven times what she was making at McDonald's, enough for everything that she wanted to do next in her life. And we're celebrating, and we're talking, and we're so happy and thanking God. And then I said to her, I said, Mary, where is the job? And she said, Key West, Florida. I said, Mary, you know what you said before about heat? It's the absolute opposite of your bliss list. And how it wilts your soul. And she said, oh, she said, that's not important now. I said, Mary, you're going to get down there. Those kids are going to get in school. You'll be there for the rest of your life. Are you ready to spend the rest of your life in an environment that doesn't feed you? She said, I've only got one chance. I talked to her seriously, and I talked her into giving up that job opportunity. That was the roughest 6 weeks that I've ever had in ministry. That woman called me every day and she said, You have ruined my life. I had one opportunity to get out and you took it away from me. I'll never have an opportunity again. We kept praying and kept believing, and she got another job offer for 8.5 times what she was making before in Traverse City, Michigan. But there's more to tell. You know, when I prayed for you for perfect employment, that's what my tapes do. They pray for perfect employment when that particular tape and CD. She had that kind of employment. They treasured her. She walked in, they just loved her. They could not get enough of her. They valued and treasured her. And the president of the company fell in love with her. And I flew to Traverse City to do the wedding. And Mary, there's more to tell. Don't clap yet. Mary is probably the richest woman in Traverse City, Michigan right now. That's a true story. So, I know there are a lot of lines on your bliss list. But this is something for you to begin to define yourself, not by your problems, but by your blisses. If I came here in the future and I said, tell me about your problems, what my ultimate goal would be is to have a blank stare from you and have a long, long pause and have you really have to think about it for a while and maybe, just maybe, perhaps, you'd come up with five things over time. But if I told you to tell me about your passions in life and your blisses, you'd light up and you'd go on for 2 hours. Now that is happiness. And it is a decision. And that's true prosperity, isn't it? Because we don't live out here, we live in here. I know people that work at miserable jobs. They stay there because they're going to have a 2-week vacation. And then they go on the 2-week vacation. They're miserable for 50 of those weeks. And the only problem is they take themselves on vacation. And all the old stuff that they've packed. So they come back even more fatigued than they were before. Now, the last part of this segment, then we're going to take a 15-minute break. Not 16 minutes, not 17 minutes, because I'm literally like the old minister that every Sunday he would put a lifesaver in his mouth, and when it melted, he would know to quit the talk. And one Sunday he put a button in there by mistake, and he just went on and on and on. I have a friend who was a master planner for a city. Now, this city would receive funds from the government if they had a good master plan. I believe it's the same way for our lives. If we have a good master plan for our lives, then God will supply us with what we need. We have to make a living, and we do this by making a life. So on your life's master plan, I want you to take your goals, and believe me, you're going to be very intimate with your goals and know them precisely in subconscious level of mind when you work on them constantly for 30 days, thinking and then feeling the ownership of every goal. And then you're going to combine that with your bliss list. Now, this is huge, folks. If you think you want something, but it doesn't fit into the pattern of your bliss list, you have to realize that perhaps you need to rethink something. So, right here on your life's master plan, you're going to make some choices. And we are going to receive the love offering test just before we break. At the very bottom, you'll notice there are six squares. Six squares. This is your 12-month goals. You're going to know absolutely, without a doubt, that you're on track if you write down your goals in these six squares. The next, you have five for two-year goals, things that you want to accomplish. Now, as you work with your goal sheet every day, it is literally going to pop out at you. God's going to help you in constructing this. But you're also going to help God. You're going to write this down in pencil. Did everybody track me on this? The master plan you do in pencil. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute that this is so important. The three-year goals, there are four areas, 36 months, that you're going to know that your life is precisely on target by achieving those four goals. Then you get to the really important stuff. You have an area for five things, life goals. That's five things that you want to do with your life. You are going to be absolutely the happiest person as you make your transition that anybody could ever be. Are you tracking me here? Because you've done everything that your soul wanted to do without excuse. You're going to know that you know that you know that you have done it and it's been successful. And then you have one thing at the top. That's your highest goal. And that's one of the big reasons for pencil. When I first wrote down my highest goal, it was to speak in a different church every Sunday. And of course, I've got that. You can see my list. It took about 6 months before I realized that's not where it's at all for me. Where it's at is praying with a person. When I pray with a person, Chris Chenoweth gets out of the way. And God comes through. And I'm able to witness the miracles. You know where I said that my payment for this seminar is to hear about your miracles? I love that. I could go on for 3 hours alone about miracle stories on this seminar. Well, I'm going to tell you one right now. There was a person, this was in Fort Worth, close by. No, this was a man. His name was Marion. He laughed. He was on about the third row, and he says, "I'm rich, ha, 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 but all my property is condemned. It's in the worst section of town. It's not worth anything." And I stopped that person right there, and I said, "That's opinion. Let's change that opinion right now." And we prayed together like we did for Patricia. And we claimed that that property was valuable property, because you just don't know. The whole story of Unity Village. You know how Unity Village was built? They discovered oil and natural gas on the property. Ordinary farmland. It was like the Beverly Hillbilly story. Shooting at some crude, and one day came up the bubbling whatever. That's the way that I do poetry. Absolutely. So that's the story. That's what happened. Ordinary land, and then God made something happen. And it made Unity rich off the oil and the natural gas on that property. It's the story of Houston, Texas. Okay, we prayed for this man, and not within the 30 days, but about 42 days later, I believe it was, his property, the whole area, was declared an enterprise zone by the state, and his property was worth millions. I'm telling you, God can take an ordinary life or ordinary things and turn it around. Just give God the chance. So write this out in pencil and decide, make a commitment with what you want to manifest in your life. Now I'm going to ask you to take out your love offering for this seminar before our break, which is 15 minutes. You're going to make your church your checks to this church, not to me. If you buy any of my CDs or tapes out in the foyer, that would be to Positive Christianity. But this is to the church. They give my prayer ministry a percentage of this. As you're getting your tithes and your offerings out, I'll tell you some of the prayer helps that I have out in the foyer are under these subjects: prayer for finding the perfect soulmate, which is the most successful recording that we've ever done, asking for and receiving divine guidance, prayer for personal motivation, the prayer for total forgiveness. And when I say prayer, there's no talking. It's solid prayer to get you to accept this once and for all, and you can play it over and over and over again. Prayer for the healing of pain, prayer for whole body wellness, prayer for the healing of cancer, prayer for the healing of heart illnesses, prayer for total prosperity, prayer for perfect employment, prayer for selling property, prayer for inspiration, divine ideas. Also, this seminar is available on CD or regular recording. And my other prayer seminar, How to Power Pray, is also available out there, including videotape. If you're ready, I ask you to hold your love offering. Oh, there are extra copies right here, and I believe there's extra copies out there too, right? Okay. Hold your love offering, close your eyes, and I ask you to think and feel this prayer with me right now for you. As I hold my offering, I am God's rich child. With the richest parent in the universe, I am connected to God, and God is connected to me. This money that I'm holding is crystallized energy or vitality, and I now joyously release it into right action circulation, and it comes flowing back to me, compounded over and over again. This divine circulation that I am creating never stops. It is God's all-powerful riches that I trust, not the mere symbol of money. God expresses God's love by means of God's good in my life, and the currency of Christ never fails to appear in my experience. God teaches me to handle money wisely and well. And I allow God to work through my mind, to adjust my mind, to accept and to handle larger sums of income. Richly, the God of all riches and wealth endows me in this moment with perpetual affluence. Richly I inherit, richly I merit, richly I enjoy God's opulence. I decree in Jesus Christ's name, this moment I am rich with God's riches. I am wealthy with the perpetual wealth of God. And generously, I share of my abundance from my source that never fails. Gratefully, I give to this constructive work, knowing that there will always be more. And as I give to God, so God always gives to me. Rivers of riches pour their golden streams of abundance into my ever-receptive life. And God, I do accept it with love and gratitude. God, I am profoundly grateful for this lavish abundance. I bless it with the law of increase and expansion, and I pass it on into joyous circulation. It is so right now in my life. Amen and amen.